Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Wednesday the 10th of April, Dain Levi Yitzhak Raskin, am I carrying or am I wearing?
Talking about carrying on Shabbos, when I spoke with your organizer, talking about the Erev, be careful. So I just want to share with you a story, a Milsa de B'dichusa. There was this guest who had been staying with the family, well overstayed his welcome, and husband and wife confer what we're going to do about this guest who's been here already 3 months. And so they make the plan that you'll cook some fish and you'll serve it for supper in the evening, and I will say the fish is fashtunken. And you will say, well, says it's wonderful, it's very tasty. And well, then we'll turn to him and we'll say, what do you say to the about the fish? And if he agrees that it's fashtunken, so then you'll get on his case. And if you'll, he'll, whichever way. So, comes the evening, husband and wife and the oiruch are sitting at the table and she serves the fish. She says, what do you mean is wonderful, first, top quality? So he says, when I want to stay with the family for 6 months, I don't get involved with the husband and wife. So I'll just mix out of the word Erev for the moment. And just talk about the issue of the one of the Lametes Melochas, about carrying on Shabbos, and we have the principles of Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, that we have Karmelis and Mokim Ptur, but I want to focus meanwhile on what defines Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid is an area which is enclosed, and it's a minimum of, the enclosure is a minimum of 10 tfochim high, and 4x4 tfochim wide, which means that this shtender is more than 4 tfochim. The area of this shtender is a bit larger than the minimum area of a Rishus HaYochid. It doesn't count because it doesn't have mechitzas, but were this to be a box, it would be a Rishus HaYochid. What this means is, and just to clarify, Rishus HaYochid doesn't mean ownership, it means structure. And therefore, let's say a dustbin in the middle of the street, a large, the street bins, so those are more than 10 tfochim high, which is about 85, 90 centimeters, 4x4, that is a Rishus HaYochid. If I take a piece of litter and put it in the dustbin, I've done an act of hachnosa, of taking in from Rishus HaYochid, Arabim, into Rishus HaYochid, which is forbidden. A similar example, which may not be so common, but sometimes you are walking along the road and a driver pulls over and asks you for directions. Now a car is a Rishus HaYochid. Most cars have got the height of 10 tfochim within, 4x4 tfochim. So the cabin has got a shear of 10 tfochim. So the interior of the car is a Rishus HaYochid. They pull over, how do you get to here? And they take out their A to Z. Now, in the weekday, you might say, all right, give me the book, I'll find exactly the place, and I'll point it to you. On Shabbos, if they give you the book, say, and then you give the book back, you're doing here, which is forbidden. I have a question which I don't know the answer. What is the status of underneath the car? In other words, the car itself, the cabin of the car, is a Rishus HaYochid. What about underneath the car? Is that also Rishus HaYochid? L'chaira, yes. Rishus HaYochid, Oyla Adla Rokia. And so L'chaira also should be going downwards. The question here is, what happens if, let's say, on a windy day, your hat flew off and landed underneath the car? A car which is stationary. Are you allowed to bend down and pull the hat out from under the car? Or do you have to risk putting your head underneath, putting it on whilst it's under the car? Make sure the car's not working at the time. All right. But that is, I don't have an answer to that, Shaila, because L'chayre, I would think underneath the car is a rishus hayochid, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to pull it out from underneath the car. Then we have various inyonim which are isurei derabbanan, and that is a where the need for, now I'm not talking about a city eruv, the need for an eruv comes in a, like a block of flats. Let's explain. The word Rishus HaRab means a public domain. In the times of the Gemara, it was very common for people to live in a chotzer, in a yard which had many houses opening onto the yard. So this yard, like what you'd have now in a block of flats, the corridor, this is lehaloche, it's a Rishus HaYochid, because it's got proper walls around it. But in people's minds, this is a public area because it's a multiple use area. And Chazal saw a confusion here where people were saying, if I'm allowed to carry in the public area of my chotzer, so what's the difference between that and the public area out in the street? So there was a confusion. And therefore Chazal made an isur and a heter. They made an isur that a Rishus HaMo'ireves, a multiple type of domain, where there's a multiple user, is midrabonu like a Rishus HaYochid, and the only solution is to make an Eruv Chatzeres, and the Eruv Chatzeres is where someone either collects bits of bread from the various neighbors, not bits actually, whole loaves, or everyone joins in, or one person makes a kinyan on behalf of everyone, he has a box of matzah, and he makes that this bread is in his apartment, or one apartment, and that belongs to everyone. So that loaf of bread, which belongs to everyone, is merging them, fusing them all into a single rishus. So again, min ha-toyre it's a rishus ha-yochid. Mid rabbonon, it's got a din of rishus ha-rabim. The rabbon gave a solution, do an eruv chatzeres, and that is going to fuse them back into rishus ha-yochid, and you'll be allowed to carry in the corridors or in the chotz. That's a good question, and whether a hotel has the same status, many poskim are makel. One of the reasons is that you don't, when you go to a hotel, you don't really have a bialus, an ownership, on the particular room. They have the right to move you to other rooms. There's a lot of details in this. Sometimes there's something, if you have got a lodger in your house, does that make you a Rishus HaMo'ireves? One of the factors, Lekula, would be if the owner has got chafetzim, has got articles in the rented room, which are not for the use of the tenant, they are storage, stored there for the benefit of the landlord, then he hasn't relinquished his right in that room. Whether that applies in the hotel is nishas poshut, because usually the facilities in the hotel are there for the guest, not for the landlord for storage. So it's nishas poshut. Generally, the oilam is makel, as far as I know, with hotels. But yesh machmirim. Okay. What is not so well known is, number one, that eruv with a goy is, well, you can't make an eruv with a goy. But here, listen carefully. If there's a single Jew in a block of flats with multiple goyim, he does not need to make an Erev. There's no need for an Erev with a goy. You cannot make an Erev with a goy. There's no need to make an Erev with a goy. When there's more than one Yid, if there's two Jewish families living in an apartment building, and there are one or many goyim, then there is a chiyuv of Erev on the Yidden, and with the goyim, he has to do what's called schiras rishus. He has to make some kind of nominal rental of the goy's rights in the common areas, and in that way he can make an eruv. Now, in addition to the type of eruv which is between, which is in a block of flats, what happens if, like many of us, live in terraced houses or whatever, you know, houses one next to the other rather than apartment buildings, and I've got a next door neighbour and I want to be able to carry from my house to my next door neighbour? Here I would make an Eruv Chatzeiris, I'd have to have a gap in the fence and be able to carry it to the neighbor. With a goy, you don't need that. With a goy, you don't need to make an Eruv Chatzeiris. Which means, I've got my next door neighbor, on either side, a goy. So I live in Stavrit, also don't have an Eruv, so I'm getting mixed into the Shtot Eruv. I'm allowed to pass something over the fence to the goy, that's okay. Now here's an interesting question. I live at number 37. Here's number 35. Back to back lives the Hamish Yid. I'm allowed to pass over the fence to my next door neighbor. Don't need an Eruv.
Without a Pesach.
I don't need to have any Eruv arrangements.
No Pesach.
No. Then. Right. But because it's a goy, I don't need to make an Eruv. Even though it's a different Rishus HaYochid. The leapfrog, yeah? That's, can I go from Yid to Goy, from Goy to Yid? That is the posthum struggle with. L'chore one shouldn't. Because ultimately, you're going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, from Yid to Yid, which you're not allowed. Okay. Now let's go on to another topic. I don't want to mention the word Eruv too many times. Because with a goy, they never made the chiyuv of Eruv with a goy. And the reason, when there's one yid with many goyim, then they said, they're not expecting that to happen. Because a yid would not feel safe to be alone in a chotzer of goyim, therefore they didn't make a gzeir. When there are numerous yidden with goyim in the same chotzer, they wanted to discourage that because shelo yilmud mimas, so that the yid shouldn't start emulating the goy. And therefore they said, make it after v'schiras reshus. The goy will resent that. As a result, you'll find it uncomfortable. You move away. So that's how that worked. Okay.
With the yid and the goy, does there have to be an opening or not?
No.
No.
There's no din of Eruv. There's no need for Eruv. All right. The din of having to make an Eruv with your next door neighbor is a result of the din of a Rishus HaMirev is like in the Chotzer situation. That's how it developed. Because really, what's next door neighbor got to do with Rishus HaMo'irevitz? Well, how does it resemble Rishus HaMo'irevitz altogether? But because by a chotzer you need to have an Eruv with your neighbor, therefore over the fence you also have to have an Eruv with your neighbor, and since by the chotzer you don't need with a goy, so the same thing. Okay. So some of you speak French. In French I would say, je porte un manteau, and I would say in French, je porte une valise. In Yiddish, ich trage ein Mantel, und ich trog a valizke. Ich trog a valiz, ich trog a mantel. The same word, trog, or porter, is used for carrying and for wearing. And hence, the confusion in our minds, am I wearing this thing or am I carrying it? Now, if I've got an obsession, I need to know the temperature. So my obsession. So I've got a thermometer. And I hang it around my neck, and every 5 minutes I can look at the thermometer. Am I carrying that piece of equipment or am I wearing it? So how do you define what's called carrying and what's called wearing? I want to just give a simple hagdora, a simple definition. Carrying is that I am taking it with me because I'll need it later. Wearing is I am fulfilled now. I'm wearing clothes, whether for cover, for warmth, for adornment. I am wearing them now, and my fulfillment is now. Carrying means I have something in my pocket, I may need it later. So that is called carrying, that's called transportation. So, therefore, this piece of equipment, which I'm wearing or hanging from my neck, I'm not wearing it. I am carrying it in a very convenient way, that I shouldn't lose it, etc. That is called carrying. So that is obviously the ridiculous is to point to what is the definition of a watch. Is a watch a... So you've got a beged is a garment. You've got a tachshit, a piece of adornment, of jewellery. And tachshit is rather broad, because, for example, in the times of the Gemara, people wore kameyas. A kamei is a form of tachshit. It's not for beauty, but it's for a form of... So, for example, a person who suffers arthritis and wears a copper bracelet, that is also a tachshit. It's not a beautiful tachshit, maybe, but it is an adornment to help them cope. And it's a fulfillment now. It's not a maso, it's not carrying, he's wearing it. So now with the watch. L'chayre, at the outset, you'd say a watch is just a piece of equipment, it's a timepiece. Now, listen to this. There are poskim, so some poskim take that in position, and they would say that on Shabbos you'd only wear a watch, which looks good, as it's a piece of jewellery. Now, I've got an interesting argument, Lekula, and that is the following. It says in the Mishnah, there's a discussion in the Mishnah whether wearing a sword, a dagger at your waist, is considered a piece of a tachshit, a piece of jewellery or adornment. I don't know why a gentleman would be carrying a dagger. It's a gentleman. Okay, but that's how it used to be. Mr. Mensch, you have to be a mensch, you have to have a dagger by your waist. No, Baruch Hashem, that's become obsolete. But the Gemara, the Tanoim argue about this, is the dagger worn by his waist, is that a tachshit or not? And they bring a proof, since it says, L'osid love v'chita tuchar b'yisom le'itim, that it says in the times of Moshiach, that the sword will be beaten into plowshares. It's a raya that it's not a tachshit. It's a raya that it's a weapon. It's not a tachshit. What were they thinking before that?
Can be a protection. What's why would a raya? Because a fancy dagger with a price gold or stones on it.
So why does it become obsolete then? Sorry. Why, when Moshiach comes, will it be obsolete? If it's a tachshit per se, so why should it become obsolete? Elomai, it's a tool. So what I'm seeing here, if not for that argument, you'd say, it's a tachshit. He would agree that it's a tachshit, yeah? Of course, well, how did it start off? It started off that people wore those daggers, those knives, in case they would need it. For sure they would need it. It was for the function. But it developed, it evolved, that without that piece of thing, bishkemenshnisht. So therefore, it started off as a function item, but it evolved into a fashion item. If so, I don't have such a problem with a watch, which starts off as a functional item, which is just to keep the timepiece, it's convenient on your wrist, and then it evolves that if you're not dressed properly, if you don't have a watch on your wrist. And therefore, it could be, if that's true, that it's part of your attire, then that's a simple heter to be wearing a watch on Shabbos, even if it's a simple watch.
What it used to be, it's also okay because you needed it now.
But it's a tool. It's not to keep you make you look nice. You don't need to. All right, let's obsess this in the time the whole time. But it's really a tool which you have with you because you'd like to know the time.
Then
especially with ladies' watches, where they, as is up, that women wear their fancy watches even if their motor has stopped. So then, that's for sure they wear it as a tachshit, right? Here's an interesting question.
What is your last word about carrying a watch or not?
Hasidic Shiiten don't wear watches on Shabbos.
Hasidic.
Okay. From Yid. Alright, a lot of Yid know my Machmir. Okay. Let's go on to another topic related. You're allowed to wear clothes on Shabbos, but to wear clothes to protect clothes, that's where you have a problem. So, let me explain. So, for example, if you have a fancy, velvet hat, and it's raining, so you want to put a plastic, even if it doesn't say safely on the plastic, just a plain, a clear, so you want to wear plastic on the hat to protect the hat. So then you're having a baguette for a baguette. That's a problem. And what you've seen, what's evolved over the last few years, is people who want to have their shtreimels, etc., protected. So instead of having just a cover just for the shtreimel, which is problematic, they would have a, now that it's evolved into a whole plastic coat, which is, that's fine, because it's part of an overall item. Since it's part of the gebege, it's okay. Right. In other words, on Shabbos, it's in the height of summer. I'm allowed to wear three raincoats. I'm allowed to, because it's a beged. I am doing it because it may rain in the afternoon. There's three chaverim in yeshiva who don't have coats, and we want to walk together. It's an eminent beged. There's no doubt about it being a beged, and I'm allowed to wear it even not for the purpose of beged. I'm allowed to wear an extra talus to shul for a chava who doesn't have a talus. That's okay, because it's a beged. When it comes, now you mentioned about a towel, to wear a towel as a belt is generally accepted, as a scarf.
Yeah, but if it's wet, it's not really much.
Yeah.
You wear it as a beged, but it's
only if it's mechaser rev gufa. Yeah. Let's go back. So with the nylon head covers, as I said, if it covers more than, what about a woman's rain bonnet that you call rain hat? So again, a woman's wearing a shaitel. A shaitel is a beged. It looks like her own hair, possibly, but technically it's a separate garment. And so she's wearing something to protect her shaitel. So the rain bonnet should be made in a way that it extends more so than just the hair of the shaitel. It would also cover, protect her neck and her face. In this way, she's wearing it not only to protect herself, but not only to protect the shaitel, but also to protect herself. Of course, if there's a very heavy rain, then the shaitlach are not waterproof. So then the rain would get to her herself wet. She'd have a heter even without having it extended. But if it's just a light rain, then the question is just for the shaitl, then she should wear it in a way that it's protecting more than just the shaitl.
To wear the plastic rain hat as a belt or
As a belt, you're allowed to wear it as a belt. There's also a limit. You don't have more than one belt on one garment. The poskim say that on one garment you can have one belt. So, and then there's another question: if people, what about if your shirt is tucked into your trousers, and you want to put a belt on your shirt, but doesn't the trousers already act as a belt? So that's a bit of a question. Okay. And some say that you should pay. I'll perhaps one more point, and then I want to say a nice shtickle agadita about a person being wheeled in a wheelchair in a Rishus HaRabim. Now, the halacha is that if you to be punishable on Shabbos for carrying, there's a minimum amount. And if you carry less than that amount, you're potter. What happens if I carry on Shabbos a cup with, the cup has got less than the shear of which I'll be liable for of water, let's say. So for the water, I'm potter. What about the cup? So the halacha is that we don't look at the container, we look at the content. If I'm liable for the content, so then I'm liable. If I am acquitted for the content, so then I'm not liable for the container either. Now, this is Nageya, when I carry, if I would carry a human being who's able to walk a little bit, so then you'd use the principle of Chaynosis Atzmoy, as if I would carry a human being on my shoulders, so then I would be potter. If I wheel a human being who's able to walk a little bit in a wheelchair, so because of this principle, look at the content, not at the container. Don't look at the wheelchair, look at the passenger. And if the passenger is able to walk a little bit, then wheeling that passenger in a wheelchair is not called carrying minotaur, it's issur d'rabbanan. When there's a case that this passenger, let's say there's a need, a tzorich mitzvah, to get him to shul, for example, for whatever other Torah mitzvah, which has to be judged carefully, then we'd have a situation of shvus de shvus le Torah mitzvah, asking a goy. If I ask a goy to wield this, to ask the goy is nisad rabbonon, and even if I would do it, it was also nisad rabbonon. If it's a shvus de shvus le Torah mitzvah, asking a goy to do a nisad rabbonon for the purpose, objective of a mitzvah, is permitted, and that is what is done in the case of a choyla who's able to walk a little bit. That one would be able to use a heter of getting a goy to wheel them through the shasram. I want to finish off.
If he can't walk at all?
If he can't walk at all, it's more chamur, because then you don't have a chayno yisrael atzmak. Then you have to go into other things that you could say, if there's a choyle you'll have to ask a goy, torch a choyle can be done with a goy in any case. If it's not a choyle, that's where you have this thing. Well, I want to finish off. All right, yeah. Or if you have an error. There's a story in the Medrash that Turnus Rufus meets up with Rebbe Akiva, and Turnus Rufus is a Russia, a wicked person, and he is giving Rebbe Akiva a lot of hassle about Shabbos. And he asks Rebbe Akiva, and Hashem keeps Shabbos. How is it that he makes the wind blow on Shabbos and the rain come down on Shabbos? So Rabbi Akiva answers him, do you know what an Eruv is? I'm paraphrasing, yeah? So Turnus Rufus says, sure, I read it in local rag from Golders Green. I know all about Eruv. What does the Eruv do? It makes it all into a single Rishus. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, that the whole world is Hashem's Rishus. And therefore it's not a problem for Hashem to carry from one rishus to the other, because it's all one rishus. But there's a glaring question which remains. He asked two questions: the rain and the wind. And the eruv helps for carrying; it doesn't help. You're not allowed to water your grass because you've got an eruv. So how does that help? So actually, Rabbi Akiva was in the Medrash, is telling us something very deep. In the beginning of Mor Shabbos, it says it starts off with carrying. And Tosfos says that the hoitzor melocha gruahi, hoitzor carrying is not real. It's perceived as not a real melocha. Melocha means you're creating something, you've changed something, you've modified something. Hoitzor is just taking from A to B. You haven't changed anything. So in people's perception, hoitzor is not such a melocha, and that's why the Tana Revi put it right at the beginning of the Gemara Shabbos to tell you that hoitzor is a melocha. But on a deeper level, what is Shabbos? The Eibishter created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day he rested. During the 6 days of creation, 6 days of the week, I am a macher, you are a macher, everyone's a macher. Everyone is creative. Everyone is, so that's called the Rishus HaRabim. We are all authorized. We're all doing. Shabbos, we say no. Shabbos is Rishus HaYochid. Shabbos, we're going to focus on Hashem Echod. Hashem is the one creator of the world. And we're not machers. The real macher, the real creator is just the Eibishter himself. And so therefore, in recognition of this, when something is in a Rishus HaYochid, on Shabbos, we don't carry it out from the focus on the one to the multiplicity. In recognition of this idea, on Shabbos, the focus is on Echod, on Hashem Echod. In a sense, therefore, when I fry an egg, or whether I write or paint, whatever I'm doing on Shabbos would be taking from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. If I would be creative on Shabbos, I would be, metaphorically, taking out from the private, from the unity, to the multiplicity. And that was Rabbi Akiva's answer to this, to Turnus Rufus. He's saying that Shabbos is... Hashem owns the whole world. So for Hashem to be creative on Shabbos, to bring down the wind, to bring down the rain, that is not in any way a contradiction to Hashem's unity. And therefore, it's quite okay for the Eibishter to continue maintaining Olam Hazeh on Shabbos, and it's not a question halacha. And the Eibishter will help him. We should be zoche bekorev to Yom Shekul of Shabbos, and Menucha L'chai Olamim. Yeah.